This, we'll probably got a two-page outline. For the most part, I've got the same outline. So I've got some handwritten notes on that outline. But you may recognize this, you may not. But about a year or so ago, when we introduced the minor prophets in our Bible class on Wednesday morning, we used this outline for the purpose of introducing that study. Since it had been a year, since probably most of you haven't committed it totally to memory, I thought it would be well for us to use it again. Otherwise, I'd have just retyped it and put in almost the same stuff anyway. But what we'll be doing is looking at introductory material tonight and probably the next Sunday night, which will be the third Sunday night this month. We'll be studying after that point six prophets: Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. That's in an order in which at least one writer suggests that that's the chronological order, the time that they appeared in history. That's somewhat similar to, I don't know whether I handed you out a chronological table at that time or not, but it's somewhat similar to that chronological table with maybe Nahum being the only one out of order. But I believe that's the six that we'll be looking at. Since there were 12 minor prophets, we still got six to go. I felt like it needful to look this introductory material before. We mentioned before in our study that these are minor prophets, but they are not minor prophets. They're minor as we've gotten an outline as to not as to the message they deliver, but only in the length of what they wrote, although one or two of them have fairly lengthy writings, but the chapter-wise, number-wise, but not in total material. I want to look at some of the statements. I mean, you'll probably find this a little bit more difficult to find in the Old Testament, in these prophets, than I will, because I've got the page number in my Bible out beside these scripture references. Using the King James Bible tonight, Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. You can look it up, or we'll wait till later to look it up. It's on page 1068 in my Bible if you happen to have the same one. But the likelihood of that being the case would be slim and none. But it should be somewhere in a little past the middle of your Bible. You can start at Matthew and thumb backwards. Amos chapter 3. And we're going to read, instead of 1 through 8, we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3, and 6 through 8. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar? Well, that's verse 4, so we won't read that. We'll go to verses 6 through 8 of Amos chapter 3. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. A number of times he refers to the prophets as being his servants, to the extent that one of the writers that has put together a book on the minor prophets, my servant, the prophets, is the name. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So the Lord God spoke through these prophets. We'll be looking at some more. Look at Hosea. Hosea is a little bit back to the left in your Bible. From where we just were, in Amos. Hosea 4, verse 6 and verse 9. My people are destroyed. This is during the time, by the way, during the time of the children of Israel, just prior to their captivity and going into captivity into I think into either Assyrian or Babylonian captivity. They wrote during that period of time. Seems like it's in the estimates are in, it's in the 600s and the 500s. So it's before going into, maybe one or two was written before going into Assyrian, but mostly between the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity, long about that time. Maybe a little bit after. Some of them during the same period. So similar to some of the major prophets that we just recently studied, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and some of those. Hosea verse 9 says, "And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings." In other words, the people are following their leaders. It's just like a game of follow the leader. A lot of times that happens. If the leaders go astray, people go astray with them. It's the same thing in a lot of times in secular life, in political life, in society. A lot of times the people of a country follow the leader off a cliff. At least in some period of time. Look at chapter 8, verse 12 of Hosea. "I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." And that kind of explains sometimes the children of Israel, the way they approach the receiving of the law. There's a lesson there for us too. Anytime we see a principle, I think in the Old Testament, it's there for our learning, there for our admonition. In Malachi, or Micah rather, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it's a little bit to the right in your Bible, the last book of the old, no, not the last book, that's Malachi. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "But in the last days," this is a prophecy of the last days, the coming of Christ, the church. "Last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" So this was a prophecy of the coming of Christ and his government, as far as the kingdom of the church is concerned. Our last scriptures will be in Malachi in that area, and that's on to the right, the last book of the New Testament, Malachi chapter 1. And anybody fallen asleep yet, right? Everybody with me? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. "A son honoreth his father, and his servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name." Not only the people were turning against God, the priests were turning against God. All of those who were supposed to be espousing the name of God and speaking for God, we're going against God. And so it took the prophets, my servants the prophets, as God called them, to try to wake the people up, because they were going to be taken into captivity. And they were punished. God's people were punished because of this. Now, unlike what will happen to those who live today and have lived over the last 2,000 years or 3,000 years to 2,500 years, our punishment doesn't come quite as quickly, but their punishment came fairly quickly. At least they knew it was coming, and some of their kinfolks were going to be alive, if not some of them. "O priest that despise my name, and you say, 'Wherein have we despised thy name?' You offer polluted bread upon mine altar." God wants the best of things, and they had offered less than the best, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, they were not supposed to offer the lame or the blind. It was supposed to be the best of the flock. If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased? Try to pay your taxes, you know, with the counterfeit money. See how that goes over. Will he be pleased or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto you. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. In other words, get lost. I don't want to hear from you. You're not serving me, he says, as you should. I don't even want to think about you. You're just, they were not doing as they had been instructed, and God was at his wit's end, so to speak. Not really, but he was at the end of his, let's see, it says in the New Testament, God's not slack, but he's long suffering. He was long-suffering back then, but it was long-suffering, and he was at the end of his patience with his people. Look at chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 4, 5 and 6. Again, this is a prophecy concerning John the Baptist. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Elijah the prophet, the one who would be out there speaking before the people. Remember, Elijah spoke to a people during the time that Baal worship was in vogue. And Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen, so to speak. I guess there really were king and queen during part of his prophesying years. And God's people were perhaps, if not at their worst, pretty bad off. But what kind of men were these prophets? And I put down 7 or 8 different things, 9 different things, whatever. They were human. They could make mistakes, although they seemed to be above board on most things. But think of Jonah. Was Jonah human? Jonah, who was told to go to Nineveh and preach. And what did Jonah do? Jonah said, I think I'll make this decision, Lord. I have power of choice. I choose to go in the opposite direction. I'll get on a boat going in a different direction and see if that won't work. It won't work. It didn't work for him. But he was human. People in the Old Testament, whether prophets or kings or whatever, they made mistakes. Jesus was the only one that never made a mistake. Now, some of them we may not have outwritten every little mistake that they made. But, you know, think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. You say, well, he was a good man. Well, think about the time when his name was Saul. He persecuted. Well, it went really beyond persecuting Christians. He was consenting to their death. Today, that would be the equivalent of murder. First-degree murder. Because it was premeditated. These were uncompromising men. They were faithful to deliver the message that God gave them. That's what we don't have many times in pulpits today. Of course, we're not prophets, but we have the word written out for us. And still you have unfaithful preachers of the word today, unfaithful teachers of the word, who compromise what God has said. Compromise in the face of society. Change the name of your church because, you know, like one of the religious groups did. I don't know if I'd been in their situation. I might have changed the name of it too, but it seems a little suspect to me. That in essence is compromising your beliefs, I think. But we see that a lot going on in religious circles these days. You go into a building where people are worshiping and you don't know what that preacher believes. You don't know what he might be teaching from the pulpit. And some people are sucked in. These people were conscious of their divine call. They knew what they were about. They knew that their job was, and it was as God's servant, as God's spokesman. And they were conscious of God's authority. They knew that God had authority. I mean, these men spoke to the kings. Nathan spoke to David in such a way that could have got him killed. Thou art the man, remember? Back in, what is it, 1 Kings, I believe, 1 Kings 12. Thou art the man. Well, that'd be a little difficult. You're going to stand in the face of a king today, go over there and Libya, go over there in Egypt a few months ago, or go to Iran and tell his leader something to his face that he has done wrong. And the odds are that would probably be the last accusation you make. These men were usually of certain ruggedness of body and character. Amos, I think of there, who was a fairly rugged character. They were independent spirits. They were men of prayer and communion with God. Remember what James said, Elijah prayed over in chapter 5 of James. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed that it would rain and it rained. Strong man of prayer and of communion with God. They spoke with God. They listened to God. They were clean and consecrated in life and in their character. They were examples for others to follow. They were outspoken critics of specific evils in the social order or religious order. Throughout these minor prophets, you have them telling the people that the leaders are greedy. Elijah was telling the leaders that they were following false gods. He challenged them to a duel, so to speak, when he had the various sacrifices and had the worshipers of Baal offer their sacrifice, and he offered his sacrifices to God, poured water on them and everything, and God sent down fire and devoured everything he had. And Elijah, all Elijah did was laugh at the pathetic work that they or pathetic show that Baal put on that day. Baal was very, very inept as a little G-O-D, as a little god. These were God's representatives in revealing the future. We just read a couple of things, especially Isaiah got in on that. Malachi chapter 5 that we looked, or chapter 4 that we looked at a while ago, in revealing some things that would take place during the first century. What was their mission? These were spokesmen for God. That was really their mission, but where does it say that, and what does God's Word say about that? Let's look over to Exodus chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 10, read down through 16. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. This is when Moses was chosen from out of the blue, out of the green, out of the green pastures where he'd been 40 years taking care of sheep. His sheep wasn't the only thing around at that time. They were probably other sheep herders and their families. And I would assume small towns or whatever. But for 40 years, he was out with the sheep. And that was kind of an excuse probably I would have given. I remember Johnny Ramsey out in in Texas when he was speaking before our scooter preaching group back in the 70s. He said, you know, said, you'd be slow of tongue and slow of speech too if you'd just been out there talking to sheep for 40 years. I don't think that was all he was doing, but he said, verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who made your mouth? You know, I know who I'm talking to, and I know how you're made, and I know how you're put together. Who maketh thee dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, if your mouth gives you a problem, and teach thee what thou shalt say. In other words, how much easier can it be than that? And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. You know, Lord, please don't send me. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. You run if he's trying to get some brotherly rivalry going there. I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forward to meet. And by the way, there he is. How about that? Timely. Oh, he cometh forward to meet thee, and when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. I mean, he's a good brother. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman with the people. Pretty good setup for him. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, I'll speak to you and give you the words to say, and you'll pass those on to Aaron. And in essence, since you're passing those on to Aaron, you're passing the words of God, my words to him. You stand in the place of God. You're my agent to your brother. Let's look over chapter 7, verse 1, where we see it discussed again in verse 1 and 2. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. He was able to do all these things that only God could do, no man could do. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. I'm going to speak for him. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So evidently, he was something like an Apollos, I guess, of the New Testament, an eloquent speaker. Aaron was. Moses, I don't know what was, he got his tongue tangled, and he couldn't see what he was saying or whatever, but there was a problem, he thought, with his speech. And God said, if you have a problem, you think you have a problem with your speech, we'll take care of that. Look at, on this, what was their mission? Let's look at Jeremiah. That's over quite a bit, over past Psalms, past Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're just going to read verses 4 through 8. 4 through 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Been unusual a situation if he'd been aborted, right? God doesn't like abortion. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Moses Jr. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I send thee, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now look down at verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, in other words, pick up your britches around the waist there. You get yourself ready, get up and get out, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Evidently, you know, they may not agree with you, and it will be expressed on people's faces. I see all kinds of expressions on faces on Sunday morning. you know, faces going over like that, nodding off, looking back at the clock. I haven't seen anybody look at the clock lately. Just to show me, you'll probably turn around and look. But you will get a crick in your neck if you do that very often. That's what God told me, and it's somewhere over in the Bible, isn't it? Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. I don't know what God was going to do before them, but he didn't want it to happen. Basic principles for understanding the prophets. We'll just look at this section and then we'll close. A prophet is a man moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's look over at 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. Prophet is a man moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what the New Testament says. We know that God spoke. God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, all are three in one. Three persons, three individual, but one in purpose. Three different personalities, as indicated in the Bible. But listen to what Peter says, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. This be a good scripture to memorize. I'm going to start writing some scriptures down myself to start memorizing and get away from this idea that, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Whatever. We sometimes think that it's difficult to memorize something, but learn again where a scripture is and basically what it says, even if you don't know it word for word. Because they're too many translations going around in my mind sometimes. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Okay, it says in the Old Testament, God speaks, God, the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus Christ is God, at least in their present situation. Jesus was for a while man, human being here on earth. B, under Roman numeral 4, basic principles for understanding the prophet. Number 2 or B, a prophet cannot introduce strange things. In other words, you could tell by reading these prophets, and these prophets could go about, and the way people could tell whether they were the real thing is based upon what God's Word said earlier by the man himself, Moses, as directed by God. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, testeth, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. He goes on to say, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. His function was to call men back to God. And when they heard someone that wasn't doing that, Balaam would have been one like that, wouldn't he? That was out for hire, so to speak. And would prophesy what he was told to prophesy until his faithful donkey decided that he would balk at that. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 18 and we'll close with that. Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So there was a stiff penalty. And they didn't, you know, wait like you couldn't go to court and say, well, you know, the dose of what they're going to give me is the wrong kind, and I might suffer. That wasn't it. You got killed. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Many of the, quote, the words of the prophet were not things that were going to take place 1,000 years in advance. And I think this would prove it. Because here are people that could tell this prophet said something was going to come to pass, but it didn't come to pass. Or what, everything that happened happened in their lifetime, so they could determine whether this was a false prophet or not. So looking at the verse 15, we here have a spoken of a promised prophet to come in the future. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, Moses said. Unto him shall ye hearken. So from verse 15 on to the end of the chapter talks about prophets and prophecy. Christ the great prophet was prophesied there. So we'll pick up on the second page on the third Sunday night of this month. The second page of our outline, rather, page 2. There's one here tonight that is subject to the invitation. Come as we stand and sing the song selected.